Well, greetings, everyone. Certainly a pleasure to have all our visitors here with us. This is a special time, a very, very special time that we can rejoice. And we read over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm just going to refer to it quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, about the parts of the body and how God looks on the parts of the body. And it's very important in his mind and in our mind that we realize everyone is important in the eyes of God. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. It says, you know that you were Gentiles carrying away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Therefore I give you to understanding that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Spirit." So it's the Holy Spirit that dwells within us that gives us the full understanding. Now it says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are differences of operation, but the same God that works all in you. For one is to give by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Some have given wisdom. Some to another the word of knowledge, verse 8, and by the same Spirit. And another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. So there's differences of gifts that we see here that God gives individuals. Another prophecy. Another discerning of spirits, which is very important when you're dealing with individuals. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. And it says, but all these work that one in the self, same self spirit divides to everyone severely as he is will. And verse 12, for the body is one. Now let's drop down to verse 25. It says that there will be no schism in the body and that the members should have the same care one for another. Now what I want to emphasize here is this next verse, verse 26, because I think it's very important. As we celebrate this time together, I think verse 26 is a very important meaning for us. And whether one member suffers, and sometimes we do find members suffering, and we need to suffer with them, and all the members suffer with it, or one member is honored. And that's what we are doing today. We're honoring the seniors today. It says, all the members rejoice with it. And so this is a fantastic time for all of us to rejoice with those who have graduated from high school and are going on to whatever goals they plan to achieve. And I was going to have them stand, but since we already gave the gifts, you know who they are. So as we get around this weekend, we get to see the graduates, Jake and Colton and Rebecca, hopefully will be with us. Congratulate them. Rejoice with them. It's a fantastic opportunity. And as they transgress, and I say in the word transgress, they transform, is the proper word I want, transform from childhood to adulthood. They're going to have to make some serious decisions. Now, their parents guided them along the way, and they gave them the blessing of the knowledge of the truth of God. And they have been truly given understanding. They've been given the blessings of knowing the purpose for mankind, why God created man to expand the family, the opportunity of being in the kingdom of God. What a fantastic blessing to know that truth. The world doesn't know it. The world is just existing, not fully understanding the plan of God, but they've been blessed to know what it is. Now, some of the decisions that they're going to have to be making as they advance from childhood into adulthood is, what are they going to do for work? What career are they going to pursue? Will they go on to higher education? Possibly. Will they go into the work field? Probably. I believe one is going to, for sure. Will they get married? Hopefully, as time progresses, they will get married. Will they have an opportunity for child rearing? I can say probably. Will they seek wealth? Probably. Will they overcome? Hopefully. But above all these wonderful characteristics of what they will achieve and what they must decide, what they must do, One more important aspect of what they must decide is, will they remain faithful to God? That is very, very important. And I want to encourage our graduates to stay faithful to God. Now, you're going to be going through life and you will experience all kinds of situations. You will have to trust in God to be able to guide you and direct you. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, we'll look at verse 9. Now again, this is saying to our young members who are going into adulthood, rejoice, O young men, now it can be young women too, in your youth. Because now you're going from your childhood into adulthood, from your youth. And let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth, and walk in the ways of your heart. Now if you're being led by the Spirit, your heart will guide you in the right direction. It says, in the sight of your eyes, and you will understand because you've been given the foundation of truth. But know, you, that all these things God will bring into judgment. So it's very important that you come to think about, make the decision, are you going to remain faithful to God? That's what we're going to talk about today, staying faithful to God. Now in life, you will be tested. Satan is very clever. He knows our weaknesses, and he will come at us from our weak points. And so that's where he's going to attack you and try to get you to falter and possibly give up your faith in him, in God. Let's look at Proverbs while we're in the back of the Old Testament here. Proverbs, we'll look at chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, we'll look at verse 5 and 6. This is what you need as you remain faithful to God. This is what you're going to need. You're going to need to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Brethren and young people, I want to encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not onto your own understanding, because it's easy to start thinking you know more than everyone else. It's easy to do that. In all your ways, acknowledge God, and he will direct your paths. So you don't have to falter like many do and struggle in life. You're very, very blessed to know that you can walk in his path and that he will direct your path. We've been blessed with that opportunity. I think as we make decisions in life and we analyze, are we going to remain faithful or will we allow ourselves to become part of the world, which is easy to do? I look out among the congregation and I just see so many that have gone from youth to adulthood, and they are setting wonderful examples for not only for us, to encourage the parents and family members. We all are in the same honoring and rejoicing whenever we see you grow up to adulthood, and we see you staying faithful, and we see you going forward and holding on to the values. It's a tremendous joy for all of us. But we understand, and we see examples in the Bible of individuals who started out great, who had wonderful examples to go and set. But some of them changed, and some of them turned away. And I'm not going to refer to those negative situations other than they're in the Bible for us to learn. That yes, we can fall away. We can turn away from our faith if we allow ourselves to. But if we hold on to the values that God has taught us, as we're told, and we hold on to the teachings and we trust in God, he will guide our paths and he will keep us in his light and understanding. It's a fantastic opportunity. You've been given a tremendous blessing from youth. Now many of us, I look in the congregation, I mentioned we have quite a few that grew up as teenagers in the Church of God. What a fantastic blessing for them. And to continue to remain faithful. That is something I want each and every one of you to consider. Look for those who can set a wonderful, faithful example. Learn from them. Ask them, what was it that helped you stay faithful? Why did you continue in God's way? Were you tempted any time? Did you struggle with sin? Because we all sin. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We understand that. And so from time when we do fall short, we have to sometimes go to those individuals who seek out for us and ask them, what did you do to remain faithful? What did God do for you to keep you faithful in the church of God? It's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to seek out those who are among us, who have endured to the trials that they may have faced over the course of time. None of us know what we're going to face. The Bible talks of perilous times. We know from one generation to the next generation, we're all growing in grace and knowledge. But you know, when you look out among the congregation and you see the gray hairs, and I'm included with that, we're the seniors now. We are the seniors. And so we are here to help, to encourage, to be whatever's necessary for our people, our young people, to ask, to serve, to help them to remain faithful. There are those that are growing from childhood to adulthood. There are those of us who have went and already passed through adulthood. We're going on the downhill side. We're growing older and our time is getting shorter. But I want to encourage the young people, you're just beginning. Your time is just beginning. Reach out and stay faithful to God. Trust in God. He's there for you. And the nice thing is, if you stumble and fall, He's not giving up on you. A lot of people think, well, boy, I messed up. God will never forgive me of what I've done. There is no sin that is unforgiven unless you're not willing to repent. Brethren, even if you struggle with sin in your life, and sometimes we do, like I say, the Bible said there's none that has not sinned. We have a God, a loving Father, and a Son, Jesus Christ, who's rooting for us, who wants us in His kingdom. Each and every one of us can be part of God's kingdom. What a fantastic opportunity. But we must stay faithful. We must endure to the end, as the Bible says. We can't go halfway. We can't go three quarters of the way of the race, as we sung earlier. We got to complete the race. We got to fulfill the race. And when we get to the end of the race, we win, as we were told. What a fantastic opportunity. Well, there's many scriptures in the Bible that refer to being faithful, trusting in God, and staying the path, on the straight and narrow path. I'm going to refer a few scriptures. Because of time, with the Bible study, I'll give Brian as much time as he wants. We're just going to go over a few scriptures, and again, I want to encourage from the heart. This is from the heart that I'm emphasizing this. Stay faithful to God. You will be tried. You will have temptations from time to time. Don't let them overtake you. Put all your trust in God. Seek God with your whole heart, as we're told, and He will guide your path. Let's look at Jeremiah 17. Now, a lot of times people look at Jeremiah 17 about the tongue, and that is true. That is part of the problem that some people have. But there's a scripture in here, in Jeremiah 17, that also tells us a little bit different. Not just about the tongue, but something different. Over in Jeremiah 17, let's look at verse 7. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 says, "Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is." Brethren, the hope of the kingdom of God is our true hope. True success will be being in the kingdom of God. Now, we can think success is having a career, as I talked about earlier, or getting married is a great success. Child rearing is a wonderful, successful opportunity. Gaining wealth sometimes can be, in the minds of some people, a great success. But that all pales into significance if we don't make it into the kingdom of God. We can have all the wealth, we can have a career, we can have a family, we can be motivated in overcoming. But, you know, if we don't make it into the kingdom of God, what did we get? We got all the physical things, all the physical blessings, but we lose the spiritual. So it does make us realize when we come to that point in our lives, when we come to the crossroad where we got to make a decision, am I going to stay faithful to God or will I go the way of the world? These are serious decisions that you have to make. I feel confident that most of our youth will remain faithful to God. But there will be some that will be tempted and will be drawn away and will no longer remain with God. But brethren, that doesn't mean God gives up on them, as I said earlier. We have a very loving, a very giving God who desires all of us to be in His kingdom. And He doesn't give up. Remember about the sheep, the one that goes astray? And the shepherd leaves the 99 and goes after that one lost sheep. So God never gives up on individuals who turn away from God. He's always asking them to come back and encouraging and waiting for them to repent and come back. So even if you know individuals who have been in the church and have left the church, never give up on them. Always pray for them. Ask for God to continue to encourage them, to help them, and maybe something of your example of being faithful may turn them around and bring them back. You never know what it takes or what it will be that brings some individuals back. Let's look at Psalm 25. Psalm 25, and we'll look at verse 5. Lead me in your truth and teach me. Never stop learning. I know we graduate from high school and we think, yes, I'm done. I'm done with learning. I can go into the work and make money. But brethren, never stop learning. And that's learning the ways of God. If you're only a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, again, you missed the boat. You missed the understanding. But here we're told, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation, and on you do I wait all the day. So we have to wait and ask God to teach us, to show us the way to live, to help us to remain faithful, to endure to the end, as we're told to do. One book that we don't refer to very often is Lamentations. And I like this verse in Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3. People say, where's Lamentations? Well, you find Jeremiah, keep going. Lamentations chapter 3, I'm going to refer to verse 25 and verse 26. Sounds like you're all there. Okay. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him. So brethren, as you grow, and our young people, as you grow from childhood into adulthood, you're going to have to wait for the return of Jesus Christ and for the kingdom to be set up. And that's going to take patience for Him and the soul that seeks Him. It is good that a man should have both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. So you need to continue to seek God throughout your entire life. Now, when you're young, sometimes you think you're going to live forever. And I'm going to tell you about a story of a young fella I knew personally, and he was one of my best friends, and we grew up together and we played together and we had a lot of great fun and good times. We talked about the Bible, but he never came into the church. We talked for hours at a time. Well, one day when I was at the feast, I got a call when I came back from the feast, and I was told Tim died. And I said, Tim died? Yeah, Tim died. Tim was 26 years old. He was a good fellow. He was very athletic, very strong, very handsome young man. The girls really liked him. And his heart stopped. It just stopped. He went to bed and his heart stopped. And I never understood that. But I came to realize that sometimes God takes people who are not fully reaching out to them and gives them another opportunity later. He will have the opportunity to know the plan of God. And yet, we don't know the number of our days. We're young sometimes and we think we're going to be strong and vigor and be able to handle all things. And as time progresses and we get older and we get into our senior years and our teeth grinders wear out, as we're told, and our eyesight dims, and it's going to happen, young people. It's going to happen to you too. You're going to get older. But the key point is, you've got to stay faithful to God. And whether we live a full 70, as some say, 70 years, or beyond that, the blessing of long life, none of us know. But the important thing is, if we don't stay faithful to God, so many people get hung up on organizations and religion. Your true loyalty, okay, I want to emphasize this very strongly, your true loyalty is Jesus Christ and God the Father. That is who you are going to answer to. And that is so important, that you stay loyal and faithful to Jesus Christ and God the Father. I miss Tim. Tim was 26 when he died. And I think about him over the years. We don't know how long we're going to live. Will you stay faithful to God for your entire life? Because you don't know the number of your days. You could go home and, like Tim, go to sleep and never wake up. It's something to think about. That's why I want to encourage you. Stay faithful. Endure to the end. You don't know the number of your days. I hope, and God hopes, that you have a wonderful life. A joyful time, a time of rejoicing in your youth. To be able to have a career that's fantastic. To be able to get married and have children. God wants these things for you. But that doesn't say He guarantees you're going to happen in your life. As I mentioned about Tim, you could go out in a car, and there's been individuals who have been in car crashes. And many of the stories are sad. Even members in the church have been killed. So you don't know the number of your days. And that's why it's so important. Trust in God every day, whatever number of days you have. Let's look at Psalm 78. Psalm 78. This is one of my favorite books of the Bible. I have some favorite books. Not that I don't love the other ones, but some stand out more than others. Because I grew up as a teenager too, young people. There's many here I mentioned that were teenagers growing up in the church. And this kept me faithful to God by reading books like the Psalms, the Proverbs. Timothy is one of my favorite books too. How Paul encourages Timothy as a young man to remain faithful, to hold on to the values, the teachings that you've been taught. These are all important scriptures that will give you the strength and the faith that you need to remain faithful. Let's look at Psalm 78. We'll start with verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which you have heard and have known and our fathers have taught us. And you have been taught. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and of His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. So as your parents have taught you the teachings of God, and as you get older, if you have a family, hopefully you will teach to your generation, the children, wonderful works of God, that what He has done. It says, verse 5, for He has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commands our fathers, that they should make them known unto their children. That the generations to come might know them. You're the generations to come. You're the ones that must learn to know them. Even the children which should be born in the future, they too are the next generation after you that need to be taught and hold on to the values and the teachings. Who should arise and declare unto them to their children. So you can see it's a generational, generational, generational. I'm going to ask a question here. How many generations do we have here? I think at least 4, possibly more, a fifth generation maybe. How many is in the first generation? A first generation. Okay, I know the older ones are going to have to raise their hand, first generation. How about the second generation? How many are second generations? Okay, a few more. Third generation. Yeah, my daughter's involved in that one. Fourth generation. Yeah, my buddy. Yep, great. Any fifth generations? You've been taught from generation to generation to generation. At least four generations we have here. That is what God expects. He expects us to teach our children to teach their children, and their children to teach the next generation. What a fantastic blessing. But it all comes down to faith. Faith and trusting God and staying faithful, enduring to the end, not giving up. And if you do stumble and fall, come back. Don't let humility vanish away from you. Always stay humble. That is, God looks at the meek, He looks at the humble, and He rejoices because He knows that you're going to stay close to Him when you're humble. When you get filled with vanity or you think you can do things on your own, that's when you fall away sometimes. And even if you do fall away, God will never give up on you. These are very important to understand that. Hold on to those teachings. And to teach our generations from children and children's children. What a wonderful blessing. Let's look at Philippians. We'll look at Philippians chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. There we go. Philippians chapter 2. And I want to refer to verse 12. It says, I'm breaking into a thought here. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, and I think we can encourage each other and say that we've been taught, we've been given God's truth, and we've obeyed. We tried to do what was right. Not as in my presence only, but now work more in my absence. Work out your own salvation. So for those of you who are going on to adulthood, you need to work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. Humility is what it comes down to. I'm going to also refer to verse 13. For it is God that works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So it's God working within you that gives you the ability to remain faithful. If we trusted in ourselves, we would all fail. None of us would be in God's kingdom. And the wonderful thing is, God is looking forward to each and every one of you being in His kingdom. What a fantastic plan that God has for mankind. He didn't have to create any of us. He already had the angelic beings. I've said this before, but it's so true. He didn't have to create any of us. He already had the angelic beings. But out of His love, His compassion, and His desire to expand the family, He created mankind. And He gave mankind the opportunity to make choices, to choose whether to obey or whether to turn away. These are the choices. Either you obey God and stay faithful, or you don't obey God and fall away. These are the choices you have to make as you become adults. And you have to make decisions. I hope that you hold on to the values that you've been taught. I want you to think about this weekend as we're rejoicing with all the graduates that have graduated and the ones in the past that have graduated and the future ones that will be graduating in the future. It's hard to believe my granddaughter's going to graduate next year. What a fantastic opportunity for her as well. But we're all looking forward to being part of the kingdom of God. And I want you to think about, are you going to remain faithful? Think about that. These are serious decisions that each and every one of us have to make. And part of being faithful is getting baptized. It's just a matter of time. Will you get baptized? It takes baptism to receive the Holy Spirit, laying on of hands after the baptism service. That Spirit will guide you and direct you and keep you close to God. But you have to want it. You have to desire it. You have to commit and make a statement. Your example, I mentioned about Tim, my one friend. Your example can turn people around. It's amazing how one example can make a difference in people's lives. Are you the one that's going to change someone else's life around? You never know. And you know the nice thing about that, and I just found this out recently, someone told me about an example of an individual. They never talked to them, they never really knew them, but they watched their example. Their example of what, how they lived their lives, and how they talked, and how they showed Christian values. And it encouraged them to change their life. I find that very, very interesting that you don't even know who you're changing lives with. You don't even know people sometimes you never met. But because of your example, by being faithful and enduring to the end, and setting the right example, and doing what you know you must do, can change someone else's life. Someone that you may never even know, or never even knew you did. I thought that was really neat when they told me that. Let's drop down to verse 15 while we're here in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. I'm breaking into the thought again. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Pretty neat, isn't it? Your light shining in the world that is crooked and perverse. You're going to stand out. You're going to be different, brethren. And that's a good thing. That's what God expects us to be. A light shining in a crooked and a perverse nation. Setting an example of living God's way and being faithful. You have that opportunity. You must choose. Will you continue or not? Let's look at Revelation 22. Revelation 22, and we'll look at verse 7. And I think this is encouraging for us old timers that's been waiting and waiting and waiting. It says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecies of this book." And that's the Bible. And hold on to the prophecies and the words of the book. Let's drop down to verse 12. "And behold, I come quickly." Now notice what it says here. "And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." So Christ is looking forward to coming back. He's going to bring our reward for us, for being faithful, for enduring. It's not easy. I'm not going to try and paint a wonderful picture that living a Christian life is the easy way. It's actually one of the harder ways. If you lived in the world, you can do all the things that the world does, and the world would love you because you're part of them. Because you're different, and you're going to shine out like a light. If you ever took a flashlight in a dark room and turned it on, notice how bright it got? That is your example out in the world. They're going to see you. They're going to notice you. You're different. You're not like the rest of us. And because you're going to be different, God is going to reward you for being faithful and enduring. Now let's not get vain about it and think we're so great, because we can lose our reward just as much as we gain it if we don't stay faithful and we don't endure to the end. That's why it's so important as we make decisions of what we're going to do in life and we go into adulthood, from childhood to adulthood, we have to think about, are we going to remain faithful? Joshua is an interesting book. Let's turn to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Now Joshua took over the reins when Moses was no longer able to go into the promised land. And I find that God was working with Joshua. I'll just refer quickly to verse 6. He says, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people you shall divide an inheritance in the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them." Well, I also want to say to you, brethren, and to the young people in our church, be strong. Be of good courage. Have faith. Trust in God, and He will lead your paths. You will not be disappointed if you trust in God and you be strong and of good courage. But let's drop down to verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate thereon day and night, that you may obtain to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. So all the wonderful successes that we want to achieve as we graduate from high school, we go on to adulthood, from childhood to adulthood, we will achieve those successfully if we stay faithful to God, because God will bless you for your efforts. It's very simple. Some people try to make religion very complicated, but it's not that complicated. If you trust in God and you have faith and you do what is right, God will reward you in the end. That's what it comes down to. But you must endure to the end, as he says. I want to refer to one more scripture over in Romans. Romans chapter 2. I can't emphasize enough how much I appreciated as a teenager in God's church the examples that I saw, individuals like my father-in-law and my mother-in-law, different individuals that I knew who have passed away now, they're no longer with us. But their example, their faith encouraged me to remain faithful. And I hope our example, those of us who are seniors, those of us who are in middle age, parents, brothers and sisters, cousins, and you can go down the list of all the different categories, grandparents, we're all rooting for success for all of us. And by your example, members here in the congregation, I hope our young people can stay faithful. But Romans chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, to them who by patience continue in well-doing. So you got to continue in well-doing. Seek for glory and honor, immortality and eternal life. These are the rewards for being faithful. Glory, honor, immortality and eternal life. What a fantastic future you have. And our young people are just beginning. Those of us who are older, we're slowly working our days out. But we are rejoicing with you, brethren, and our young people. We are rejoicing. Now, parents have helped lay your spiritual foundation, especially for our children. Parents have done that. And as we go from childhood to adulthood, we will need to build upon that foundation. We can't just stop. As I said, yes, I graduated. I don't have to learn anymore. I've done it all now. No, it's a continuation. It's the foundation has been laid, but you must build upon that foundation. With God's help, we can add spiritual character. It's going to take the Holy Spirit to enable us to develop spiritual character. And we can add that to our foundation. And we can receive eternal life in the kingdom of God. That is our reward that we're all going to be looking forward to. Let's seek those who have gone before us, who have given us wonderful examples of learning and being faithful. And as we make this transition, that we're here to help you, our young people. So don't pass up the opportunity to seek the older generation. Sometimes I think the older generation sits back and kind of waits for the young people to come to them. We both need to help each other. We're all here together. We're all here to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to lead one another, and to all be together in God's kingdom. What a fantastic opportunity. We will all rejoice together. We will all be making that transition from physical to spiritual. That's the success. That is what we want to achieve. But it starts now with the decisions you make now, with all the things that you have to decide how you're going to live your life. Brethren, stay faithful. Endure to the end. We're all pulling for you. Brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins, parents, grandparents, we're all pulling for you. But there are two individuals that are pulling, and more importantly, for you, and will get you to where you need to be. And that's Jesus Christ and God the Father. If you stay faithful to them, and you endure to the end, and you do the things we're told to do in this Word of God, then you will be faithful. And Jesus Christ and God the Father will be very pleased. They're pulling for you. Let's do it. One more scripture, 2 Peter. Chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll look at verse 2 to verse 10. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according to as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life. So life, and what we need to understand what life is all about, is right here, is given in the words of God. And godliness through knowledge unto him that has called us to glory and to virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. I hope you consider the kingdom of God as a precious promise. We haven't gotten there yet. The kingdom is not here yet. But it's coming. It's one of the promises that he says he's going to give us. It's a precious promise. That by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. So it's a nature that we're going to be creating within us. Having escaped the corruption of the world, which it is, that is in the world through lust. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of the corruption is, lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, we're told, add to your faith. Now, this is what we need to add. This is what's going to keep us faithful. This is what's going to help us to endure to the end. This is what's going to put us into the kingdom of God. It says, and besides this, giving all diligence, verse 5, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience. And that's a tough one, because we want it now, but we have to be patient and wait for it. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity or love. It's all wrapped up in love. God's love for us, our love for each other, and for the looking forward to the kingdom of God. Let's continue. For if you, these things be in you, so they have to be in you. It's not that you can hear the word and that's it. You have to do the word. They have to be in you. They have to be in you, and they must abound, that they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. The fruits of the Spirit is what we'll be developing in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see from afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Verse 10, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling. Make your decision. Hold on to the values. Teach. And your election sure. For if you do these things, listen to this. If you do these things, you shall never fall. What a fantastic plan God has for each and every one of you. Now, as we rejoice this weekend with our graduates, you have decisions to make. We all have decisions to make. We all will be making those decisions as our time progresses. Make the right decisions. We're rejoicing, brethren. This is a fantastic weekend. I appreciate all the visitors that are here. It makes this occasion such a special occasion for all of us. The parents, the grandparents, the aunts, the uncles, the brothers, the sisters. Let's keep the faith and let's endure to the end.